This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode here on the Mindful Experiment. This is Dr. Vic, and excited to have you guys on. For the subscribers, thank you for subscribing. For the listeners, take a moment, like, follow, review, subscribe, do all that to help this movement as we are truly trying to elevate the consciousness levels of humanity, break out of the matrix, and so much more. Before we get into talking about today's guest, we are launching a program that I'm excited to share. It's been something in the works and people have been asking for something like this. So for those who may not know, I've been doing coaching now for over 5 years, and I bridge the gap between spirituality and quantum physics, and I do it in a unique way to where I can help individuals elevate in their game called life and the game that they play as an entrepreneur. And I've been doing this for a while now. We've had great success with it. But people have been asking, will you ever have a program for people who don't have a business or just want to help elevate in their own life, or how to attract and how to do this and that? Well, that day is coming. We have a late wait list right now as we're putting things together. And you can find that in the show notes. This program is called Unlock Your Greatness. And I'm going to teach you how to break out of the matrix. I'm also going to teach you how to step into your life and really understand who you really are from the deepest level possible, and how to play at that level to attract and experience true fulfillment, to truly tap in and to truly get that point, and so much more. And anyone can take this. It's a cultivation of over 15 years of my work and study and research and experiences and so much more that I'm putting into this program. And it's going to be a group coaching program. And so you'll have me weekly working with you in this process for a short period of time. And we're going to be launching it. And there's a steep discount for those who are on the wait list, because I'm only going to market this to, when we launch the program, it'll only be for those who are on the wait list. And so check it out in the show notes. There's more information there if you want to learn more about it. Jump on, just put your name, email, and phone number in there, and we will notify you once we are getting ready to launch the program. So that being said, this interview with Paul Austin was for those who want to really elevate their mind and really expand their consciousness. Now, I've had people on there before who have talked about these things in similar ways also, but it was really one of the things about understanding the dopamine effects versus the serotonin effects when it comes to psychedelics. Now, whether if you like psychedelics or you don't, it's great to expand your awareness on this. I've been studying psychedelics, especially like psilocybin and these other things, for years, because I truly believe plants have the answers for what we need. And, you know, from early on in life, I always felt like the earth can take care of us and it has everything we need. And as I got older and understood the laws of nature and how nature, we have to work with nature, not against it. We have to be one with it and all these other things. I started to see more and more how this is true. And psychedelics is exploding. It's huge. There's more and more people I'm seeing in the spaces of being psychedelic coaches and this and that. And Paul does a great job. He knows his stuff. I was very happy to interview him. I was very impressed with his knowledge on it and his passion for it. We talked about microdosing with psychedelics like LSD and psilocybin and how they can provide benefits like increased energy, better mood, and improved sleep. Right. He gets into the aspects of the difference between LSD, how it's more dopaminergic and enhancing focus, attention, and motivation, while psilocybin is more like serotonergic, which is like promoting feels of contentment and present and so forth. He gets into other things that you could possibly microdose, but he talks about how overall psychedelics can have a massive impact on people's mental and physical health, performance, and consciousness expansion. I'm very intrigued. And I have been for years, and the research that keeps pouring in about psilocybin and microdosing and the benefits of neurogenesis properties and what it does for the brain and all those things, it has really The research is pretty sound, and there's clinical trials. I mean, this is stuff that's not just people are just doing, as B. It's there's tons of clinical trials going out about this. So, and Paul is an expert in this field, and I was very excited to share with him, and he'll share his story and things about stacking and this and that. We get into all these different things. So, if you are a person who's looking to elevate your mind and play at a bigger game and understand more deeper aspects of you and healing and all this stuff, this podcast is for you. So, without any further ado, here is my interview with Paul Austin. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey Vic, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I'm excited to have you on. I know you may be a former Cub fan from what we were just discussing. Maybe still is, who knows? But it was great to chat about that. But I'm excited to have you on and dive deep into the realm of what we're going to get into today. But before we do, what's been your journey that led you to where you are at this point in time and today?
So my journey begins, as we were talking about prior to going live, it begins in West Michigan, where I grew up, outside of a small city called Grand Rapids. And I grew up in a pretty traditional, sheltered, even religious environment. My parents really believed it was important that we go to church every Sunday, possible for hours at a time. They also were more Democrat, so they're certainly open-minded, but religion meant a lot. So I grew up going to church a lot. And as part of that upbringing, drugs were really frowned upon. Cannabis, obviously psychedelics, anything illegal. And at the age of 16, my parents found out that I'd been smoking, started to smoke weed. And this is before I started even drinking alcohol. I just kind of got into it with a close friend of mine in high school. And they sat me down one Sunday after church, and my dad looked at me and he's like, I haven't been this disappointed since my brother passed away in a car accident 35 years ago, right? So that, I'm 16, I'm pretty emotional at that point. And so that hits me like a ton of bricks. And what was communicated from that experience was my parents were raised in the 70s and 80s and the just say no to drugs era. Cannabis, they did not like and did not approve of, but really didn't know much about and have much nuanced education about. They just knew it was illegal at that point. This is 2006, so highly illegal, and that I shouldn't be doing it. And, there's some legitimacy to that. Like my mom, I know, had a sister who struggled with drug addiction for a long time to things like cocaine and alcohol and other drugs like that. And it really negatively impacted her life. But a lot of it was just a misunderstanding. And, they had no experience themselves. They hardly drank alcohol for that matter. So that led me down a path where a few years later, I started to experiment with LSD and psilocybin mushrooms at higher doses. The same friend who introduced me to cannabis introduced me to psychedelics. I had really profound, beautiful, life-changing experiences. And it encouraged me to kind of tread a more unconventional path in my 20s. So I moved abroad. I lived in Turkey. I lived in Thailand. And I became very interested in like digital nomadism and remote work and getting to travel where I want and live where I want. And as part of that path, I ended up in Budapest in 2015 with a couple friends talking about the future of psychedelics and wellness and all these sorts of things. And this idea of the third wave of psychedelics came up. I started publishing educational information about microdosing. This is about 9 years ago now. And so for the last 9 years, I've been focused on generating awareness and educating the broader public about psychedelics and specifically about microdosing. And the circle comes, or the story comes full circle in that a few years ago, Michael Pollan wrote a book called How to Change Your Mind about psychedelics, which was a bestseller. Soon after, I had a Netflix docuseries about it as well. My dad read that book, started to microdose, and then I ended up guiding him through a high-dose mushroom journey. And so he went from, being completely gobsmacked that I would ever touch an illegal drug to trying this himself. And so that also, I think, spoke to the power of having an open mind and being flexible and really looking at psychedelics from a very objective perspective, which is if they're used with intention and responsibility, they can be very beneficial for our lives.
I love it. What a full circle story there right at the end. And your dad was one way, and then all of a sudden later in life, here he is. You're guiding him through a journey. That's pretty cool. I love it. And it seems like you're ahead of the curve with this process because, now it's very popular. You know, you're hearing all about it in some way, shape, or form. You know, at least like ayahuasca, I know I hear a lot of people talking about it and more people are doing it. Where 10 years ago, it was maybe starting to get a little popular, maybe not. I wasn't in the space as much. So I don't know that part, well, but it seems.
The two big inflection points were when Michael Pollan wrote that book in 2018. That's when I also happened to start a legal mushroom retreat center in the Netherlands. And we did retreats for over 1,000 people in 18 months, like insane.
Wow.
And then the other big inflection point was COVID. You know, the number of people who took a psychedelic quadrupled from 2019 to 2023. A lot of that was microdosing and telemedicine ketamine, meaning at-home ketamine use, which is a legal psychedelic currently. So, and currently, 61% of Americans support legal psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy. This research was done by Cal Berkeley. So we have, in Colorado, legal psychedelics. We have in Oregon, legal mushrooms. California is looking to pass a bill this year. The FDA will likely approve MDMA, also known as ecstasy, to treat PTSD this year. So we're really on the precipice, on the cusp of mainstream accessibility. And from when I started Third Wave in 2015 to where we are now, it's night and day in terms of the interest, the stigma, the education. It's been really incredible to see.
No, I totally agree. And I think even Illinois allows psilocybin, if I'm not mistaken, but or something like that, passed some bill or something like that just recently, like maybe last year or this year.
There's a research bill in Illinois specifically to do research on psychedelics. And then there are certain cities that are decriminalizing it as well. So this is true in Massachusetts. This is true in Florida. This is true in Texas. There's a lot of legislatures specifically because of its impact for veterans, PTSD. So there's a lot of legislatures who want to make it available or study it or research it or do clinical trials or whatever it is.
No, I love it. I mean, I've read the research on it for quite some time, been in that space for about 6-7 years. And it's just fascinating on what it can do just for PTSD. I mean, you could go to a therapist for how long, can't do it. And somebody can do one ayahuasca journey or they can go and do psilocybin or something like that, guided in some way, shape, or form. And their whole life is like transformed. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And the clinical trial results with MDMA for PTSD, it's about 3x the efficacy of conventional treatments. Like up to 70% of people cure their PTSD and they've had PTSD on average for 17 years. So it can be incredibly powerful.
I love it. And so let's talk. So we're talking about full dose stuff. Let's get into what maybe define to the listeners what microdosing is, and then we can branch off into some of them.
Yeah. So microdosing came on the scene just over 10 years ago. And people, you know, for the history of humanity have been taking very high doses of psychedelics, typically for spiritual or religious or even healing purposes. This is what I call the first wave of psychedelics, the ancient and indigenous use of psychedelics. And in the second wave, the counterculture, the emphasis was on LSD, as many of us know, and especially in high doses of LSD, turn on, tune in, drop out, right? And in the last 10 years, a lot more people have started to microdose, which is taking a very low dose of a psychedelic, about a tenth of a regular dose. It's what we call sub-intoxicating or even sub-perceptual. So you can go about your everyday life, business as normal, with a slight enhancement. The three clinically backed results of microdosing are more energy, a better mood, and better sleep. Those are the three that have been, you know, validated by clinical trials. And the idea of microdosing is that you do it. There's a protocol. You do it 2 or 3 times per week for a month or 2 months or 3 months. The parallel that I often draw is similar to meditation, that when you're looking to reap the benefits of meditation, you don't just sit down on the cushion once and expect for your life to be changed. You do it 30 days straight or 45 days straight or 60 days straight or whatever it is, and you commit to that process. Microdosing is similar. You're looking for, how am I changing from day 0 to day 30 or day 0 to day 60? And what's the intention? You know, like, is it to, a lot of people start to microdose because they want to wean off SSRIs or ADHD medications. And so for those people who are listening to this, who are interested in that, I always say do so under the guidance of a medical professional, that you should have a therapist or you should have a psychiatrist or a nurse practitioner or someone who's supporting you if you're looking to do that. there's also a lot of people who just, and I include myself in this, who are interested in performance, enhancement, exploration. I do a lot of supplements. I take creatine, I take fish oil, I take different functional mushrooms, and I sometimes look at microdosing as another supplement that can help with reducing chronic inflammation and improving neuroplasticity. So I'm looking at it more from an enhancement lens. So I love to microdose and write, or I love to microdose for public talks, or I love to microdose and even just go hiking outside or do yoga. So there's lots of great ways in which when we work with these low doses of psychedelics, we can actually combine it with other modalities that can be really potent. Because as you and I both know, and probably a lot of the listeners are aware of, when we do a very high dose of a psychedelic, we're intoxicated, we're on a couch, we're on a yoga mat, we're not moving, we're sort of going into inner space, if you will. And that can be useful and effective every now and then. But where I find a lot of the magic is working with these microdoses, these low doses, and combining it with yoga, meditation, breath work, hiking. I love, you know, cold plunge or sauna. There's a lot of fun modalities that you can combine with microdosing.
And that's what piqued my interest, was the enhancement part that you're talking about, because it was so fascinating to read about, just like even if you microdose psilocybin, the divergent thinking and how it could take your mind into look, see things from a different perspective. And I'm all about brain and keeping my brain as young as possible. So neuroprotective properties, neuroplasticity, BDMF. And it's fascinating because psilocybin does such a great job on a neurogenesis perspective. It's unreal. And I know you know these things already, and I'm just sharing this for more of the listeners, but is there different elements of different things that you can microdose that will give you different effects? I mean, I kind of know the answer to that, but you're the expert, so I'm going to leave it to you.
Yeah, so kind of to circle back to what you were mentioning before, even, like, yes, it has a fantastic impact on neuroplasticity, and we won't go into detail on that, but it's super helpful for learning and adapting to uncertain circumstances, weaving in new behaviors. We know this from clinical research. Like you said, it increases something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a precursor to neuroplasticity. So that's one, I would say, core benefit. The other core benefit is its impact on the amygdala. So the amygdala is our fear response center. That can get tight if we're scared to do something. Microdosing helps to mitigate that sort of reactivity of the amygdala, which gives us more courage to do the difficult things that we need to do. We know we need to do the difficult conversation that we need to have, the thing that we've been procrastinating on forever, whatever it is, stepping in and doing that with courage can help really move the needle forward for us. So I would say whether it's LSD or psilocybin, which are the two most common psychedelics that are microdosed, those benefits apply. Neuroplasticity and its impact on the amygdala to make us more courageous. Now, when we get into the nuance then of intention, you know, why might I choose to microdose with LSD versus psilocybin? I'll go back to brain chemistry because it just helps to ground it a little bit. I'm very esoteric, or I can be, but I don't find a lot of it to be all that helpful. Frankly, I'm not going to tell you how microdosing aligns with your moon cycles and what that might mean astrologically. So not my vibe. If we look at dopamine and serotonin, right, these are two of the most common neurotransmitters that psychedelics impact in particular, serotonin especially. And both LSD and psilocybin are active on serotonin. They're serotonin agonists, meaning more serotonin is produced. Serotonin is the feel-good molecule. Psilocybin is more serotonin. And so psilocybin often helps with that sense of feeling good, that sense of contentment, that sense of presence, that sense of even like what I would say, feeling your body and feeling in your body. So a lot of people who are microdosing with psilocybin, they're going through a therapeutic or healing process. They may be trying to wean off SSRIs because there's a similar mechanism of action with psilocybin as with SSRIs. So a lot of folks, or folks who are just, they're simply sick of psychiatric medications, they want to work with something natural because LSD is a synthetic. They'll go and work with psilocybin. So if someone is more in the therapeutic process, they're more interested in healing, then psilocybin strictly is very good for that. Whereas LSD is more dopaminergic, right? Dopamine is the molecule of more. It helps with focus, attention, and motivation. So a lot of people who are interested in working with LSD, A, are attempting to get off Vyvanse, Adderall, Ritalin, because again, that has a similar mechanism of action as LSD on the brain. LSD is much less addictive though. And these are typically people who are more interested in the cognitive performance. They're interested in flow. They're interested in sort of biohacking and productivity. So those, I would say, are the two polarities. Pure LSD is more dopaminergic. Pure psilocybin is more serotonergic. Now, there's space in between those as well. And I'll give a brief example of that. Paul Stamets is a well-known mycologist that you may have heard of. He was in Fantastic Fungi and has come up with something called the Stamets stack, which is psilocybin, lion's mane, a functional mushroom that also supports neurogenesis, and niacin, which is a vasodilator, which helps the absorption of the lion's mane and the psilocybin for neurogenesis properties. So that, the lion's mane, niacin, psilocybin combination would fall in between pure LSD and pure psilocybin, meaning it's going to have a greater impact on focus, attention, and motivation and overall neurogenesis, not to the same degree as LSD necessarily, but greater than just pure psilocybin. So to make this very simple, it's like you can do pure LSD, you can do pure psilocybin, you can also stack psilocybin with certain herbs that help it to be either more kind of focused, masculine energy, or more relaxed, present, feminine energy.
I appreciate bringing up the stacks because that's something I've been seeing for the last year or two, a couple of years now, about how they're starting to blend these things in to use for, you know, certain feelings or certain levels, cognitive or that. I love how you brought that up, broke that down really well. So you brought up the feminine and male energy. I'm just curious now, is one more, so LSD versus psilocybin, is it one more male energy versus female energy by any chance, or is it a blend of things you got to add in?
I mean, I would say LSD is more masculine because of that impact on dopamine, right? We sort of perceive the masculine energy as the go-getter energy, the warrior energy, the I'm going to get this done, I'm going to execute this, I want to build this, right? Whether someone is male or female, that's just more the energy that that is called upon, whereas psilocybin is more about the, yeah, presence, contentment, the physical body. And you can, like I said, you can stack. Like I even make a stack with lion's mane, cordyceps, which is quite activating, bacopa, long jack, which are both nootropics, and aniracetam. Aniracetam is the one that I use. And that's a fantastic nootropic for cognitive performance. And I do that with psilocybin. So, it, you know, psilocybin psychedelics generally are very synergistic. They feed off of the energy of whatever you combine them with. So the basic structure for the vast majority of people who are listening to this is do it with psilocybin or do it with LSD. Once you get a sense of how each one of those impacts you, then you can start to play around with different supplementation and herbal regimens that you combine with them.
Love that. Now, I know microdosing and ayahuasca is starting to be, I've heard talks about that. Is it also even with MDMA, are they doing microdosing in that too? Or is that not something, or is it just mainly...
That's a great clarification. So don't microdose with MDMA, only high doses with MDMA, because MDMA, if done too often, could be neurotoxic. This is not the case for psilocybin or LSD. So microdosing MDMA is a big no-no. There's just, you're better off doing therapeutic doses, which is anywhere from 80 to 120 milligrams of pure MDMA. Ketamine can be microdosed. There are some clinical platforms that are offering microdoses of ketamine as a way to wean off certain psychiatric medications. The best one out there is called Joyous, and they pair you with a medical professional to help you wean off SSRIs using microdoses of ketamine, which is totally and completely legal. With something like ayahuasca, usually the perspective that I give is ayahuasca has a, you know, deep lineage with the Amazonian peoples. And if you're going to microdose with ayahuasca, do so under the guidance or tutelage of a shaman, curandero, a healer who's rooted in that lineage. I don't necessarily provide any guidance or advice on that because I think it's not my wheelhouse. I'm a white dude from Michigan. But if ayahuasca is like your medicine and your path, and you've gone down to Peru and you're doing dietas and you're sitting with it and you have a teacher and all that, then microdosing it can also be useful. I've done it here and there, but not consistently enough to speak at length about it. And then there's iboga. Iboga is technically called an oneirogen, which is a dream-like substance that's great for opiate addiction and other forms of addiction. I've done that here and there. It's Tim Ferriss's favorite thing to microdose, apparently. And then the final one, which is really great, is San Pedro, which is a cacti from Peru. And I think San Pedro may be the sort of hidden star in all these substances, because it's very similar to LSD in that it's dopaminergic, dopamine, so it helps with focus, attention, and motivation. But it's also the most anti-inflammatory of all the psychedelic substances. So it helps the most with lowering chronic inflammation in the gut and therefore the brain. And I think there could be a lot of really interesting research that's done on low doses of San Pedro. Mescaline is the psychedelic in San Pedro. We could see some really interesting research on that in the next 10 years. And I think just to wrap this up, like, that is the most interesting sort of vista that we still have yet to explore. Because these are prohibited, we haven't been able to do a lot of research. But as they become more accessible and available, you know, there's so much research that we can do, not only in mental health, but physical health, performance, leadership, cognition, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, MS, you name it. There's a lot of potential kind of possibility in terms of how psychedelics can help people heal.
Yeah, it's so much that just from my understanding, what I've been researching, it's going to be crazy. Even the spirituality or even the consciousness level of things, it's going to be a whole nother level. Before we wrap up, can you share with people how they can find you, follow your work, and all the great stuff that you're doing?
So Third Wave is the main platform, thethirdwave.co, or just type in Third Wave into Google. That'll get you there. My name is Paul Austin. I'm on Twitter or X, I suppose is what they call it now, and Instagram at Paul Austin, like the capital of Texas, 3W. And I'm there. If folks are listening to this, if you have questions, if you just want any guidance or to be pointed in the right direction, send me a DM. I check it consistently. Or just go on Third Wave and sign up for our newsletter. We also have a training program for practitioners. So if you're a coach or practitioner who potentially wants to work with microdosing in your practice or work with clients, we also have a $500 discount. Just use Vic Manzo. We're just going to use your name, Vic, V-I-C-M-A-N-Z-O. And we'll get you a $500 discount on the practitioner training program as well. So that's about it.
For everyone, I'll have that all in the show notes for you. Paul, thank you so much for taking the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Vic. This is fun.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.